We're glad you're here, and God's got some great things for us. I'm going to talk this morning about love and how really the world has some crazy ideas about love. And so we're going to learn some things because how many know the world may be confused about love, but God's not. He is love, and he's the one who gave us love to experience. And so we're going to go to his word today and learn what God has to say about it. But before we do that, we got to figure out what the world has to say about it. And so, of course, anytime you talk about love, you got to go to the prophet Tina Turner. Tina's always one of my favorites. And so I'm going to need a little help on this. We've done some singing already, so your voices are all warmed up. But let's start clapping because I want you to sing with me, okay? All right, you ready? Let's sing a little Tina. You got it up there? All right, go. Ready? What's love got to do with it? Got to do with it. Come on now. What's love but a secondhand emotion? What's love got to do? Got to do with it. Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? All right, give yourself a hand. Well, I'm here to tell you, Tina got it right when she left a good job in the city, working for the man every night and day. But here, she missed it, all right? Because who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? All of us need a heart. But all of us have also experienced a broken heart. But that doesn't mean we don't need one, because when it comes to relationships, relationships are necessary. To even have a relationship, you got to have a heart, because our hearts have everything to do with life, and especially when it comes to love. One of the things that happens, you see, when we're born again, when we ask Jesus to come into our lives. Remember, he said that a man must be born again, born a second time, born above. In other words, we're reborn spiritually through Christ when we surrender our lives to him. And one of the things he does is, the Bible tells us, he takes a heart of stone out of us, which has been hurt and damaged over life, and he replaces it with a heart of flesh so that we can experience the kind of love that God has for us and that he wants us to share with one another. In fact, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 says that we're to guard our hearts, keep our hearts, for out of it our hearts flow the issues of life, or all life flows from our hearts. And so, Tina, like I say, God bless her. She couldn't have been more wrong. So let's sing another song about how crazy the world is when it comes to their thoughts about love. But we got to go a little country on this one, all right? So let's throw this up here. You got to sing this with me. You ready? Let's sing it together. Now, I was looking for love in all the wrong places, looking for love in too many faces, searching their eyes and looking for traces of what I'm dreaming for. I know I'm not a singer, but we tried. Give yourself an applause for that one, too. But what do we learn from that song? Well, we're looking from that song, we learn that people are trying to find love out here somewhere. And what we're ultimately going to find out is there's a love that's been deposited in us through God who created us that we're to tap into and share not only our love back to him, but our love to each other. But we've all, like I said, we've all experienced a broken heart. There's not one of us here that at some point in life has not experienced a broken heart. There's a great poem by Alfred Lord Tennyson. He says this. He said, I hold it true, whatever befall, I feel it when I sorrow most. 'Tis better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. There's no doubt in my mind that there's some people here who have experienced such a broken heart that they've closed their heart and they've shut their heart to such a degree that they're guarding it to such a great degree that you're not experiencing the kind of love that really God has planned for your life and designed for you. And so my prayer is today that we're going to have some fun and we're going to talk about some things, but that God will use the words I share to really penetrate and touch your heart in a special way. And that you're going to leave here today with a freshness in your step and a greater appreciation of a good God who loves you, gave his son to die for you, and really wants you to experience firsthand his love. That it's important, even though you've had a broken heart, it's important to know that God's the one who restores broken hearts. I was thinking about this, you know, this idea, this concept of, well, if your heart gets broken, maybe I shouldn't even get out there. It really came true to me with when we got our dog. You're probably sick of hearing us talk about our dog, Jonesy. But, you know, when you have a child, you love that child, all your children, and you never think you're going to outlive them. And for those of you here who have lost a child, I can't imagine the pain that must be, that you still probably hold. But and thinking about this little dog, you know, it's only 3 pounds. I'm a little more than that, okay? So I'm, you know, this little dog, big guy, but this dog has captured my heart. And one day I got to thinking, I'm going to outlive this dog. This dog's going to die someday. I'm going to be alive. How am I going to survive without this dog? Well, I survived, you know, 50-some years without a dog. I'll probably survive without it. But you know, but you understand what I'm saying? It's like should I disconnect? Should I not be so loving? Get away from me, you little mutt. Because honestly, when the dog's around, she just loves us. She loves Beth and I equally. Because she'll come to one of us and she'll sit on our laps and she'll love. Then the other one will walk in the room, she'll go, oh, goodbye. We call her the traitor. Okay, see a traitor. She just runs off to Beth, you know. But I can either disconnect and not love her, or say, okay, even though it's going to be just for a season, I'm going to love her the best I can and share that love with her. And I think I want us to learn from this and not close ourselves off. So let me ask you just as we begin this time together with just a few questions about love. Is love something you give, or is it something that you receive? Is it something you give, or is it something you receive? I would think probably some of us would say, well, if I had to choose, I probably would be something you give. Or others, you would say, if I had to choose one, I would want to receive love if I could get that. Well, I mean, we're going to, of course, find out the answer is it isn't just getting it, it's giving it as well. It's twofold. It's something that you get and receive. What kind of person would you be if you only received love, but you didn't give it out? In other words, you felt loved all the time, but you didn't express love to others. What would that person, what would they look like? What would they be like? Well, chances are they'd be a little self-absorbed, wouldn't you? If all you got was love all the time, but you didn't reciprocate, you just received it, that would make you pretty shallow and probably a little narcissistic in your personality. But what kind of person would you be if you gave out a lot of love, but you didn't experience it back? Well, that person would probably look great on the outside, but on the inside, they'd be pretty empty because they're constantly giving out but not receiving. So here's the point of all this. I would propose that to truly experience the love the way God designed it, it's doing both, giving it and receiving it. Not just giving it, not just receiving it, but both. Jesus had a lot to say about love, and if you brought a Bible with you, or can got one you can turn on in your phone or iPad or whatever, go over to Matthew 22 and verse 37. Jesus had a lot to say about love. In fact, he had a lot to say about it. He had a lot to do to demonstrate it to us. The Bible says that while we were yet dead in our trespasses and sin, God demonstrated his love to us by giving us his son. He demonstrated love all the time. And in Matthew 22, it's an interesting story. Some religious leaders came to Jesus and they asked him, what's the greatest commandment, Jesus? And how should we live our lives? And here's what he said in Matthew 22, verse 37. He said, you must, everybody say must, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Today we'd say, you got to be all in on this. This is everything. This is you're giving it your all. This is the first and greatest commandment, he said. And the second is equally important, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, let me just ask you, my guess is you probably don't know this, that this great commandment that he's given us, it's not one of the Ten Commandments. A lot of people think it's one of the ten, but it's not, because, of course, you know the Ten Commandments that were written on the stone tablets Moses carried down from the hill. You saw the movie. And, you know, that's what they were supposed to live by. This is not one of those. This is a different commandment. And then this second one, he says, which he says, Jesus says, is equal to the first one, and that's loving your neighbor as yourself, is not a commandment either in the Ten Commandments. It is from a commandment in Leviticus 19. Now, loving God with everything you got is written several times, if you wanted to do a Bible search, several times within the book of Deuteronomy. We see this commandment given, but it's not one of the ten, so it didn't make the top ten list. And then this one about loving your neighbor, again, that isn't even in Deuteronomy. It just appears in Leviticus 19:13 about welcoming in strangers and loving them the same way you would love somebody from your family, that kind of love, family love kind of thing. So, Jesus calls this the greatest commandment. And the second equal to that, and that's loving your neighbor as yourself. So let me ask you this. Why then, if this is the most important thing, why did God give us the Ten Commandments to begin with? Why are they even in the Bible? Why did he give those to Moses? The answer is, I'll give you the answer. The answer is, he gave them for us to realize that they're impossible to live by. We can't live by the Ten Commandments. Why? Because sin has affected all of us. And because of that, we don't have the power to live by the Ten Commandments. Because some people think, well, if I just can do enough for God, I'm going to connect with him and he'll love me. No, you're doing the commandments. It has nothing to do with God's love for you. God just loves you. Period. So when we sang today, one of the phrases that we sang was something about being in disobedience or being apart from God. He still reached out to us. And of course, that's the answer of the God. That is the gospel. That's the gospel message. So he gave us the Ten Commandments so we'd realize that it was impossible without some help to be able to live by them. And there's one particular word in this passage I want you to really focus on for a minute about this commandment we're to live by is the word, I asked you to say it. Do you remember what the word I asked you to repeat? Must. Yeah, what that word must. How many think you can really love somebody if you must love them? That's just, there's something wrong about being forced to love anyone or anything. There's a great book I was reading. It has nothing to do with this particular topic, but it mentioned, the writer, Francis Schaeffer, mentioned this idea of creation and man's relationship to God. I want you to see this quote. He writes this. He says, "The purpose of man, the meaning of man, is to stand in love as a creature before the Creator." I think most of us understand that we didn't create ourselves. Our parents didn't create us. We have a creator who made us. We're made in the image and likeness of God. The Bible says that God formed us in our mother's wombs. Every one of us is different. We're handcrafted by God himself to be a unique individual. That's the beauty of God. It's just wonderful. So we are a created being. We didn't create God. He created us. An atheist would say, well, we just created God. It's a concept, something that we can, a crutch to lean on, to live on. No, we have a creator. There is a God design in the world in which we live. So he created us, and so we stand in love of our creator. But notice this. He is, speaking of us, he is to love God not mechanically, but by the wonder of choice. Without choice, the word love is meaningless. Man, I'd like those words to just sink in you for a second. Just let those words permeate into your heart. It's a choice. Receiving God's love is a choice. That's why when Jesus said, unless a man is born again, it's impossible to see the kingdom of God. We can't even experience love the way it's designed to be unless we experience God, unless we're touched by God's love. So it's a choice to receive it, then it's also a choice then to share that with those around us. Look over at the Gospel of John with me, the first chapter. I found these two verses that are just amazing to me. Actually, three verses. Verse 17 says, "For the law was given through Moses." Remember the law, it's the Ten Commandments and the other laws. Were given, there were orders from headquarters, orders to live by. Again, we realize that we can't live by it. We can't keep the law where we fall from grace all the time because in and of ourselves, it's impossible. But he says, God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. In other words, he is unfailing love and faithfulness. Another translation calls that grace and truth. The law was given, but grace and truth came. The law was given, but unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus. In other words, Jesus was an expression of God's grace and truth. He's an expression of God's unfailing love and faithfulness. We see that in God. One translation, the Passion Translation of the 18th verse says about Jesus, who is cherished by the Father and held close to his heart. Now, he, Jesus, has unfolded to us the full explanation of who God truly is. What is the full explanation of who God truly is? Well, according to 1 John 4:7, God is what? Four-letter word, L-O-V-E, love. God is love. So when we fully understand Jesus, we get a picture of God's love being demonstrated to us. In fact, say, how important is this? Well, it's so important that the church of Jesus Christ is built on this. The Apostle Paul, who most people will tell you, wrote almost half of the New Testament. He said this in writing to the church in Ephesus. He wrote a number of what's called epistles. They're letters written to the church that are just as relevant and just as full of truth today as they were almost 2,000 years ago when they were first penned. These truths, it's the foundation or the framework of what we know today as the church. Paul, through revelation, through inspiration, God used him to give us the sort of the playbook to live by. And so in Ephesians, the third chapter, he prays. He gives us a prayer that he was praying for them, which is just as true today for us, that he prays for us. Here's the prayer. He says, then by consistently using your faith, in other words, that what we're talking about is the life of faith, walking out the faith life. The life of Christ will be released deep inside of you. And the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. Now, don't let these words go by too quickly. And don't take them off the screen so we can keep looking at these. The very source and the root of life. Now, what's a root do? A root feeds the branches, right? You cut the roots, you kill the plant. He says this love that Christ has for us, this love that God has for us to experience, is the root, is the foundation of life. It's the very essence of who we are and who we become in Christ. He says then, and really I would add only then, will you be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences. He calls us holy ones. Turn to your neighbor and say, apparently, I'm a holy one. Then you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences, the great magnitude of the astounding love of Christ in all of its dimensions, how deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love, how enduring and inclusive it is. And then verse 19. Endless love. We sang that song today. Endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. In other words, we had some fun with those opening songs, but that was their best understanding of love. That who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? That's their best understanding. Looking for love in all the wrong places, looking for love in these faces. I'm trying to find it out here, and I'm going to find out that it's really from there to here where we truly find love. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Man, that is so rich. Now, the Amplified Bible says that last part this way, that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ. So here's what I want you to picture. He's describing and praying that we get this, This idea that God loves us and he puts that love into our hearts, that we can experience being loved in this settledness that comes, this peace that comes, that passes all understanding, knowing that God loves me regardless of my condition. He loves us with whether or not we can keep the law or can't keep the law, whether we're perfect or not perfect. He loves us in our imperfection because it's who he is. He loves us. Settle the issue. But that experiencing God's love isn't just that, but it's that experiencing that love till that, notice that word we read earlier, that it overflows in us. Well, what does overflowing love do in our lives? Well, it overflows beyond us to the people in our lives. So that when we think we aren't capable of loving others, that we have a supernatural experience that we can hardly put words to, hardly describe as best we can, of this idea that the love of God that comes into our life, begins to overflow from our life, to then we begin to share it with others. And that's truly when we begin to experience love firsthand. I wonder if this isn't part of what Jesus was talking about in John 10:10, when he said, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly till it overflows. That when we talk about the overflowing abundant life, we're not talking just about your bank account. We're talking about the size of a heart that's full of love. Go over to another verse. It's in 1 John chapter 4. Again, this is the famous verse where we talk about, or God reveals himself to us as love in verses 7 and 8. 1 John 4, 7 says this, for those who are loved by God, let his love continually pour from you. I want you to see the picture. You are love, his love pours from you. You are love, so his love pours from you to one another. Because God is love. Do y'all see that? It's not just to us. In other words, we got to understand the love of God. It starts there. It is an imperative. In a few weeks, we're going to be in Israel with a group of folks from the church. We're going to visit the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is dead because water flows into the Dead Sea, but water doesn't flow out. And because it doesn't flow out, it dies. It's dead. It accumulates particles and minerals, and it kills all the animals and fish and everything. It's dead. There's nothing living in the Dead Sea. So why is that? Because living water comes in, but then it dies. So it doesn't go out. The love of God that we all want to experience, that's so important for us, isn't just for us. It's to share with people in our lives. It's to come out of us. Yeah, go ahead. Give the Lord some praise for that. Now notice what else it says. Everyone who loves is fathered by God. Notice that. He doesn't say everyone who is loved is fathered by God. It says everyone who loves is fathered by God. See, it's opposite, right? When we love, we're fathered by God and experience the intimate knowledge of him. Verse 8, the one who doesn't love, ready for this? The one who doesn't love has yet to know God, for God is love. Again, notice who's emphasized here to be loving. We are. Again, it's not something we manufacture. It's something that God gives to us, that we experience firsthand. And because we experience firsthand, we're able to tap into that root of his love in us. We're able to share that with others. So what do we learn from these verses? Well, one, you and I are loved by God without condition because that's who he is. Number two, we're to let God's love come to us and then through us. And number three, those who love, are fathered by God. It's huge. It's just so important. Say, well, okay, how is that possible? How is it possible? Well, again, remember when we talk about being born again, this idea of receiving a heart of flesh rather than a heart of stone. In Romans 5:5, if you're taking notes, write this down. Romans 5:5 tells us that God's love has been poured into us by the Holy Spirit. Now, unless you're born again, God's love isn't in you. I'm telling you, you have natural human love, but you don't have this supernatural love that I'm talking about from heaven. You've not experienced that because the way to experience that is in relationship with God. But when we experience God's love firsthand, it's what empowers us because, again, this love has been poured into us, not just for us. For us is important, but it's to come to us and then ultimately goes through us. Look at one other verse. That's found in the Gospel of John, John chapter 13 and verses 34 and 35. Now, in Matthew 22, Jesus spoke to the religious leaders, the scribes, the Pharisees of his day, and he gave them a new commandment. Now, it gave them the greatest commandment. Here in John 13, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. You got to know the audience when you read the scriptures. Who's the audience? Well, the audience in Matthew 22 were religious people. This audience are his followers. That's us. Jesus is saying this to them, and he's saying this to us. So now, I'm giving you a new commandment. Now listen to the commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. And I want you to notice this, a couple things. Jesus gave what he said was the greatest commandment, to love God with everything you got and your neighbor as yourself. He said, that's the greatest. And then privately to his disciples, he says, I'm going to give you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. Now notice, I mentioned this idea of loving each other is not new. It's not a new commandment. They got this commandment in Leviticus 19:13, the one about loving a stranger like he came from your own family. That's not a new commandment, Jesus. What are you saying? Well, he's not confused, right? Y'all with me? He knows what he's saying. But notice what he said. I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. Meaning, this isn't something you must do. It's something you get to do when your heart is full and overflowing with God's love. You get to do this. It's fun. We get to experience God's love. That's why in Ephesians chapter 5, when he says to husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church, he knows that husbands, we're just selfish. Unless we get the love of God in us, we'll never love our wives the way God loves our wives unless we tap into his love for us that we can then share his love to her. Y'all with me? About six of us are. No, I'm kidding. You're all with me. I know you're right there. Right there. Here's some truth. You ready for some truth? Because God loves you, you can love others. Because your love for others isn't dependent upon them. It's dependent upon God. In other words, sometimes we feed off those around us. We will, like a speaker, I'll feed off the energy of the crowd. I'll feed off that. I need feedback from you. I need an amen or come on, brother, whatever you want to get. Yeah, I need that. See, there's feedback. But what he's saying is, listen, when you tap into God's love, it's not about feedback. In other words, you're loving people doesn't require them to love you back. Or you're not going to take a seed of their love and let it amplify back to them. No, your love is from, so here, let me just paint a picture. So God loves you. He releases his love to you. You tap into it by giving your life to him. He brings his heart or his love to you overflowing in your heart. So you experience that. So your response is really twofold. Your response is a love back to God. Not because I must love him, but because I do, because it's in my heart to love him. And the second part of that twofold response is we love people around us. That means that we can love people who are, in essence, unlovable, and we all have them in our life, right? There are people in our life that just bug you. Or you have people in your life that just don't like you. And what's our natural response to someone who doesn't like us? Well, I don't like you either. But we can love them the way God loves them. We can see them the way he sees them. Man, that's awesome. Jesus said, listen, you're going to have people that are against you. He said, for your enemies, here's what I want you to do with your enemies. I want you to pray for them and love them. Your enemies, not your friends. He said, I'm going to take this to another level. I want you to love your enemies. Not that you must, you get to. Man, that makes life so, that is such a freedom in life. What a great, there's no wonder that when we follow the Prince of Peace that passes all understanding, we wonder why Christians live such good, healthy lives. Because we're not bitter, we're not angry, we love people, we live in a fallen world, but I'll tell you what, we can have the love of God move in our lives. For us and through us. Well, let me leave you with a couple of thoughts. One, love is the currency the kingdom of God runs on. Two, it's the fuel that drives our engine. It's the fuel. Now, this clip is this image I have of all of us. It's what the church of Jesus Christ should look like. We should all look like this. And this is, remember, Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, love your neighbor, love your friends the way I love. Let's watch this and learn.